Thank you so much for joining us for the rest of my conversation with Tanya, aka me catching up with my friend. Last episode, we talked about the challenges of motherhood, how to take care of yourself, and how to successfully raise great humans. If you missed part one, go back and listen. It's that good, I promise. Now, it's time for part two. Let's go. Hey guys, my name is Kim Sanders, and welcome to You Are Worth the Work, a podcast that reminds busy moms that following your dreams ain't all rainbows and roses, but you are worth the work that it takes to thrive in this life. After you listen, please rate and review the episode. Also, if you want to connect with me, I'll have that info for you in the show notes. Let's get started.
So with working and building my career, obviously with many people, you have to decide what it is you want to do before you can even decide how you want to do it.
That's the hardest part.
What do you want to do? Right. And you're going to go through your ebbs and flows with that also. So what is the situation that you can put yourself and your family in that at least has a little agility in it so that you can navigate through it? And you're also teaching them how, well, you know, I didn't really like that job, so I had to do something different, or that wasn't working for us, so I had to do something different. Because they're going to wind up in situations, even now. My daughter is, you know, she was in a class. Okay, did you like that class? Do you want to change classes next semester when it's over? What does that look like? Do you have another class in mind? Same thing with me. Okay, well, I didn't like that job. I'm going to find a different job that works better for this. You know, everything is a lesson. So finding the right situation, the occupation that you want to be in. For me, my husband is an entrepreneur. He was in corporate America a lot. So the first, 10 years of our marriage, he was pretty much traveling. I was almost like a single mom on many occasions. Even when he would come back from another country, it took him like 3 days to get back on planet Earth with us. His head was in another time zone. So my situation had to be something that was conducive to surviving and thriving in that kind of, you know, compromising up and down household.
Yeah.
I still want them to be functional. I can't have them like, oh, well, mom's not paying attention, dad's not paying attention, I'm gonna go over here and, you know, set the couch on fire. No. We have to have a situation where their needs are getting met, my needs are getting met, and the hubby's needs are getting met. What does that look like? Once he left corporate America and he started his own company, then I was next. It was just a natural flow that gave us a lot more agility based on, also, my oldest son did travel ball. So he played travel basketball. What kind of job, honestly, can you have where you can just leave and not be there for 2 days on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday because you're going to be in another state for a basketball tournament? I mean, you know, it really came down to the lifestyle, what worked, what was conducive, building that and making it work, just making it work. And there's still changes, you know, we still have to figure it out sometimes, but you have to be of the mindset that I'm going to make this work. I'm going to make this position. And you have to be honest. That's the other thing. You have to be honest with employers and clients about who you are and your priorities. Because people get to choose if they want to work with you or not, or have you on their staff and have you on their team or not. So we have to be honest about what our life looks like. So entrepreneurship was better for me. But also because I do love giving back. I'm a gun violence survivor. I volunteer a lot. I'm a child advocate. I needed to have a situation where I could provide income and still be able to give back to the community in a way that shows my children balance, sacrifice, and community. And how important it is to give back to the community. How do you do it? How do you balance it all? Who said we do? You drink coffee?
Yeah, I would say balance is kind of, to me, balance is kind of a myth because
it is.
Something's going to get more of your attention. It just depends. It depends on
I mean, that's like we grew up with people talking about marriage at 50-50. Where?
Whose? Not mine.
On what given day? Is there a book that proclaims this? I'd call
Where's
them a lie.
The manual for that?
There, it's no such thing. Some days it's, you know, 20-80. Some days it's 60-40. But it's never really 50-50. And the same with childhood. And I mean, you know, raising kids and building a family and work. It's not going to be 50-50. Someone's going to give more on any given day. But some days you're going to give less. And I think we as mothers, too, need to. I've started that. I've started the whole, okay, I don't want to cook today. We'll figure it out.
Pick not, somebody else.
Not cooking today. Or next week, you know, I'll cook big on Monday and then I need time. Last week was tough. I need more downtime. But it's a matter of being honest about what you need. So you have to know that first.
Yeah, I think that's good. Like the strongest word I heard of all that is the agility, being agile and teaching your kids to be agile. And I know I've told Adam and Lane's like, look, I'm doing the best I can. You're doing the best you can. I need you to be flexible and patient. Things change. You know, I've got one son, you know, Adam, he wants to know the day's game plan. Like 2 days from now, I'm like, hey man, you can't do that. 'Cause things change. Like you can't hold me. You will not hold me to what I said last night because you're going to remember, you're going to say it, but things are going to change. So I can tell you what's on the schedule right now, but if I need to bring you baseball pants and a hat and run you over here to the pizza spot before I take you to practice, then that's what we're going to have to do. Like they've eaten many a dinner in the car on the way to a tournament. It's packaged. You know, I took the time to cook it. So here it is, you're getting a nice meal. It just doesn't look like in your mind what you think where you're supposed to have dinner is supposed to be. And I think as moms, in order to kind of reframe what we want to do for ourselves, we have to be agile. We have to say, okay, maybe we're not going to sit at this table at 6 o'clock and eat dinner together. That never happens, by the way, in my house. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. Like, I let them watch TV and eat dinner. I do. Because I need a minute. Like, after I've done the things with them, I need a minute. They need a minute. Everybody needs a minute. So they get to do their thing.
One of the greatest things that has come out of not just COVID, but the advancement in education and people understanding ACEs and things of that nature is teachers now, the education system is starting to realize that kids learn different, right? That, you know, they don't have to be traditional at all the time. I walked into my daughter's, I think this was like third grade or something, classroom, and there was pillows on the floor. And
I love that.
Like random different, like the room didn't look like there was desks for people that really like to just sit in a desk, but there was like areas where you can do work, little desktop tape on the floor. And it was great for me. So I had to ask her, I was like, oh my God, what's going on in your classroom? She said, you know, Tanya, I realized, and obviously they've been doing some training, but that people learn different and they're comfortable in different spaces. But as long as they get their work done, they can do it wherever they want. They can do it wherever they want. And she said, which this is where I absolutely loved her, sometimes they're doing work and they might fall asleep. And I just let them lay there. Because you don't know what people's situations are at home.
Uh-huh.
If that's what they need, I let them have it. This is a teacher. It's like second, third grade.
Right? I love that.
So understanding that in early education, if that's how they are moving, we too as parents can say, you know, where you are most comfortable, where you want to eat at. I like to sit on the floor. People think something's wrong with me. They come in my house, girl, I got a little pallet on the floor. I do my best work sitting on the floor in Indian style with my laptop on my lap.
That doesn't hurt your back?
I have a little thing on my back.
Oh, okay.
I still Royce's massager, so I get to. All that being said, I've always loved being Indian style on the floor. I don't know if that's the child in me, but everybody is different. And being a mom is the first person to recognize the differences in every element in your household. It is really up to you. It is up to you to communicate that to your husband. It winds up being up to you. Not it's your job, but you're the nurturer. You're the natural nurturer. So you wind up noticing it. You're probably with them most. They're your twins. You notice things about them that probably no one else will. And then how you adjust to that in all of the many things that you do and what you are trying to get them to become is your juggling act. So you have you that you're trying to take care of, whatever occupation you've chosen for yourself, and then these people that you brought into the world that you want to be amazing contributors to the world. How you move through all of that, it takes a special type of human. And what you said earlier is everybody's doing their best. Girl, I've seen some people that don't care, okay? They're like, mm-mm, I'm signing up for all this. I'm like, but you did.
I said that, and then you looked at me, and I was like, well, maybe not. Maybe everybody's not doing the best they can.
Next door for you offline.
It is my hope and my wish that everybody does.
So when they don't, do their best, we get stuck dealing with them. I mean, I'll just leave that.
That's true. Okay. We're gonna leave. You said we're gonna leave right there, so we're gonna leave it. I want to know what made you. I hope she doesn't edit any of this out. What made you write a book, especially about something that's so traumatic?
So once I mustered the guts to come to terms with the life that I had been given and the life that I had lived from the time I was 5 to about 25, I wanted to pin it for a couple reasons. I used to coach high school cheerleading, junior high school and high school cheerleading. Many of my girls would have issues, right? I've always been a very strict coach. I'm fun, but I'm strict. Behavior was always a part of our platform. So if you act up, you got to go. Many times I wound up having to counsel some of my young cheerleaders. And in counseling them, because I care about them and I want them to do well, not just in cheerleading, but in life, you find out different things that are going on in their life. I've been able to talk them through a lot of trauma and difficult situations and, you know, teenage confusion and all kind of crazy stuff. And many of them are doing well. We got doctors, nurses, I have engineers, some amazing young girls out there doing some great things. Even speaking with their parents, I can say that I've been a part of that maturity. I'm gonna teach girls how to drive and just great stuff. But it hit me that I was never, let me back up and say, as a PR professional, one of my daily challenges is getting people to tell their story, tell the story of their business, how they got there, really dig deep, get them to trigger emotion and reaction from their audience and their target audience, their clients.
I feel attacked right now, just so you know.
That's it.
I feel so attacked right now.
As a profession, but yet I haven't done it myself. So it was a moment of realizing that I have never really owned up to the life that I had lived. I've never really told that story. So I just committed to doing it. I was like, I'm gonna do what I've always asked other people to do and tell their story. Not only that, but I changed my location. I've changed how I deal with some of my family that are included in this book, because there is such thing as toxic relationships. And you can have a toxic relationship with family members. I'm sure many of you that are listening to this can think about a few times where you probably should have removed yourself from a situation or a relationship. Mm-hmm. Because my life has changed, now my children don't know some of the people that maybe they used to be close to, because I realized that those were toxic relationships. and it was part of generational trauma, and I no longer wanted my children to experience generational trauma, which is what I went through. So I told the story also to give them an understanding of the sacrifice I made to make sure that they are okay. It was important to me that my children did not go through the same type of trauma, even a similar trauma, that I have been through. And knowing that some of these people that are named in the book and some of the things that have gone could continue to be a part of their life, I moved. And I moved on because it was important that I protect my children. I want them to understand growing up that anytime you have relationships that are toxic or put you in a really bad compromising position, a bad place that really mess with who the core of who you are, it is okay to let those relationships go. And that is something that was never taught to me. That was something that was never taught to my mother. That is something that was never taught to my grandmother, that it's okay to leave toxic relationships right where they are, because it's better for you mentally and for me physically. So I did write the book for two main reasons. Well, three. One, because I was tired of being a coward myself. Two, to let those young girls know why I was able to connect with them on a deeper level than they even understood at the time. And three, to give my children a testament and anyone else's children a testament to the fact that it's okay, because it's out of self-love and love for the people around you, to decide to leave toxic relationships in the past. That's why.
I love that. I love that. I will, you guys, I will link this in the show notes so you can grab it and you can read it. I have read it. It was, because I know you, it was a tough read. But I think it was necessary to write. You know what I mean? Like, it was hard to read it. It's different than reading something like this with about somebody that you don't know. Because you can say, oh, okay. But then if it's someone you know, you're like, oh. Yeah. And then you just want to give them a really big hug.
And I think I wrote... Here's the kicker. Writing this book and having older people that knew me when I was a child read the book, it helped them recognize, one, how they've contributed to trauma in children. Mm-hmm. One of my mom's older cousins was like, oh, well, I guess that would traumatize a child, huh? I didn't even think about it like that.
Yes, ma'am.
That was the funniest thing to me. So that was like the cherry on top, is for people to recognize that the things that we do as adults really affect who children become as adults. Mm-hmm. It matters. And many times I think, you know, they're like, well, they'll get over it. They'll move on. Kids are resilient. I'm like, actually, so the book wasn't actually...
I'd like to have a word about that resiliency.
Please. And thank you. So that was the cherry on top, is to get other grown adults, because they're in a different mindset even than we are. Right. Mm-hmm. We're more conscious about well-being and wellness and self-care. Yeah. Like, they had no self-care back then. They still, you know, were beat up by their husbands and took it, and they thought that's what wives do, and he cheated on me, but at least he came home a month later. Like, crazy stuff. The stuff that these older people used to deal with, it's wild. So yes, I did know that there was a resistance to the fact that adults have an impact on kids, because even things like kids are seen, not heard. And now we're over here telling kids, tell me about your emotions. Get in, connect with your emotions.
Big feelings.
Talk to me about it. You know, things have changed. So getting them to understand that and recognize that was a big deal. But again, really the toxic relationships that we have as, even as girlfriends, You know, sometimes girlfriend relationships are toxic. Yeah. It's okay to be like, I love you, but we ain't good for each other.
Yes, I agree. I feel like I just Debbie Downered that, but that's okay.
If you're trying to lose weight and I'm constantly putting peach cobbler in front of your face and you want to be done with me, I get it.
You're an enabler.
That means I'm hating. I really just want you to be fat. I ain't going to tell you that. I'm going to root you on and feed you sugar. Like, come on.
You got this, girl.
I got your back with some extra starch added to the recipe. Like,
you do not have my back. You do not.
That's really just a metaphor. There are people in your life that are drugging you with toxic ingredients on a regular basis. So,
well, that's the importance of having quality people then, right? Like, that comes kind of...
Come on. Come
through. And understanding that it's okay. Everybody doesn't have to go. Everybody can't go.
Come through.
Everybody cannot go. Sorry.
Come through. Come through.
Like, there are, you know, the no new friends thing. I've never agreed with that. Mm-hmm. And while there's value in long-term friendships, I do believe that there are people that come into your life later in life that make just as much of an impact, if not more. It just depends. But I don't discount that ever. Mm-mm. At all. All right. So we're going to get ready to wrap it up, but I have one more question for you. And we kind of talked about this earlier, because at the end of every episode, I like kind of putting action steps in front of people, right? So if there's a mom that is listening and she's like, you know what? I heard Tanya and Kim talk, and you know what? I'm going to pursue XYZ. I've got this goal. I've got this dream, but I got these kids. How would you tell a mom how to get started? How to just, you know, they've acknowledged that they have this thing inside of them that they don't want to be just so-and-so's mom, right? They have this thing kind of outside of motherhood. How would you tell them to get started?
Recognize your triggers. Good, bad, and otherwise. Why is that important? Because you also recognize what triggers you to be happy. What triggers the joy in you? Is there something you read that triggered something in you that wanted more of that? Is there something you've worked on, maybe even a community volunteer project, and a piece of what you did really brought you joy? Like, I like when I do this. I love when I'm in my bag and this thing happens. Acknowledging what that is, that thing that triggers you to be more interested, to be excited about something, recognize what that is, and then start looking at job descriptions that describe that thing. LinkedIn is a great resource for so many reasons. There are times when I'm looking for words to describe a task. I'll just get on LinkedIn Jobs and I'll just start putting stuff in. And it helps me figure out what I was trying to say or what I was trying to communicate to someone to do, to get done. Once you figure out what it is that you really like doing, obviously finding a job or starting a business that allows for you to do that. One thing we're really getting clear about is you can't be a master of many things, right? Find what it is that you like. And it's okay to build a business from a niche, because then you can collaborate with other people that are doing the big thing or the general thing. For instance, PR firms, big PR firms, they do everything, right? They do the whole gamut. They do the branding, they do the outreach, they do the media training, they do everything. But if you decide, I just love learning more about getting media for women-owned businesses, you could actually work with a firm. They can contract you. If you build your business, they contract you to just do that. So when they get small business, small women-owned businesses, then they can contract you for that. You can, you know, if you're someone that loves gardening, but you really only like working with tropical flowers, You can build a business off your niche and then collaborate and partner with other organizations that are doing the big work, or even other niche competitive businesses that you guys can work together. So don't ever think that this thing that you like doing or that you're good at isn't good enough to build a business. You can do that. Now, you will have to engage in the marketing, the PR, and all that stuff. But from a small business perspective, you can do all that on your own while you're growing. But it is important. First step, recognize your trigger. What makes you happy? What brings you joy? Because building a business, one, is not easy. And you need drive. You need to want to continue to educate yourself on these things. You need to want to continue to learn more. Because the more you learn, the more you're able to do, grow, and build more connections. At the end of the day, it comes down to what you love, what you have passion for, what you're willing to sacrifice for, and blend into the situation that you already have with your children, your family, things of that nature. But don't ignore that, because you never want to leave this life saying, I wish I would've. I wish I would've. I thought about it, but I didn't. That's never going to be your legacy. So recognize what it is that you are feeling driven to do, and do it. And guess what? There's people out there that will help you once you're ready to get it going.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because then now I want them to tell you all, tell them all about Sand and Shores. As we wrap it up, what are you up to? What is Sand and Shores, and how do you help people?
Oh, yeah. My favorite stuff. So Sand and Shores, we are a PR, actually communications and leadership firm. PR is under communications, but we help businesses, organizations, and entrepreneurs tell their story, elevate their message, and build a strong reputation. Your reputation is important as a business leader, as a brand. That is important. So making sure that your reputation is great in the media and in the public. We write. We have freelance writers that are on our staff. We have podcasts to help you elevate your message. And obviously, we do the media outreach. We help you increase your digital footprint. Because when someone Googles your name or your business name, everything that comes up is important. And it blends to who people see you as. It's what people say about you when you are not in the room. And that's what we help craft, the message that people hear and how they see you in the public eye. That, my dear, is Sand and Shores. And I absolutely love the work I do and the people that I work with.
I love it. So thank you for, I'm so excited that you came on. I'm so excited.
I love your podcast. I love what you're doing. I think it's important work. And I continue to watch you grow at this. So I'm just happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad you are here. So tell the people where they can find you on all the social media thingamajigs.
All the socials, Tanya McKenzie PR. It's so easy. Or Sand and Shores on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or sandandshores.com. Easy breezy.
I love it. And I will put all of that stuff in the show notes. I will also put link to A Child's Memories of Cartoons and Murder in the show notes, so you can grab that. I will have my social in the show notes as usual. And as usual, I want to thank you guys so much. I don't have my cup. I feel bad. Tell them what you said earlier. Tell them what you said earlier about your cup.
I always got to have a cup. And she asked me, what do I feel, what's in my cup? Or something. And I said, you have to always keep something in your cup. At least I do, because it keeps me from throwing it at people. Cheers.
I love that. Okay. So thank you guys so much for joining me on You Are Worth the Work. And I will see y'all next time. Or you'll hear me. I don't know. We'll see. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to You Are Worth the Work. If you enjoy this podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe, rate, review, share, tell your friends, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.